the appeal, and the unique challenges of hot air ballooning. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. There are several unique subsets of aviation, which means that there's a niche that will appeal to just about anyone who's ever wanted to fly. For many pilots, powered fixed wing is the common denominator and the easiest entry point. For others, nothing but a helicopter will scratch the itch, or maybe seeing how long a sailplane flight can last by finding invisible columns of lift. And for some of us, the magic of man's first method of sustained flight has the biggest draw. Larry Simberger is a veteran balloonist and the director of balloon operations at the annual Arlington Fly-In north of Seattle. At this year's show, between his morning flight and the night glow event, I got a few minutes to talk to Larry about his addiction, starting with the question of all the options available. What was it about balloons that pulled you into this corner of aviation?
Well, that's a very good question. My interest started out when I was very young. In 1973, Malcolm Forbes flew across the United States, and I was 13, and watching that story unfold every day, not knowing where he was going to take off from or where he was going to land, and to see him accomplish that really kind of piqued my interest. But a high school friend of mine was working for a local hot air balloonist who did rides and commercial work, and I was invited to come out and help crew, which is a big aspect of ballooning. It's kind of unique to ballooning. And I crewed for a couple of years before I went for my first ride, but once I went on my first ride, I was really hooked. It's very serene, flying over the cornfields in Illinois. That was a lot of fun.
The one time I've been in a hot air balloon, I remember flying over people's backyards at 500 feet and hearing conversations on the ground. And you could just say in a conversational tone, "Hey, how you doing?" And they'd look up. I mean, it was that quiet. Is it fairly common for someone to do a lot of crewing or behind-the-scenes work before they get into a balloon themselves? Is that an entry path commonly for people to get into ballooning?
I say that's probably the most common path. People like to get to know the sport a little bit. If you just become a pilot straight off, you don't really understand what it's like to be a crew member. And you rely on your crew so much to help you set up your equipment. They chase you down wherever you end up flying to and help retrieve your equipment. And so they're so key. Without experiencing what they have to go through to help you as a pilot, I think you're kind of missing something. So the majority of the pilots do start out as crew.
Now, in terms of steering a balloon when you're going somewhere, you're kind of at the mercy of the winds. And if you're a skillful balloon pilot, you have to learn to manage where you are in relation to the winds. Does it also come into play, how is my crew going to get to where I am? Is that part of the process that decides, you know, whether you take the left fork in the road or the right?
As you know, hot air balloons don't have control surfaces. So you can't physically steer these balloons. But if you are paying attention and know the topography, the winds, your objective is to take off upwind from many landing sites. So that as you fly downwind, you have all those landing sites as opportunities. And definitely we have air-to-ground radios, and we're talking to our crew, helping them to understand what roads or what streets are more favorable for them to retrieve us, because you don't want to carry out all that equipment. That's a big chore.
Well, and obviously there are times when you might have to put it down where roads would have been a luxury. But let's talk about what is different between the world of balloon pilots and the world of other pilots. Do you fly other kinds of aircraft or just hot air balloons?
All I can afford is hot air balloons. I wish I could afford other types of aviation. My interest did start out in fixed wing, and this ballooning opportunity presented itself, and I went for that. The difference between what we do as a balloonist and a fixed wing pilot is we are really looking for optimal VFR conditions. What I often refer to as VFR plus. In other words, if you start studying our balloon operations manuals, you'll see limits like 7 knots or less takeoff limits and things like that. And that's because these balloons do act like sails, and they get a lot of momentum. And while 7 knots may not seem much to a fixed wing pilot, that in an unprotected area is about the maximum we can take off of safely. Now, granted, if we're in a wind-protected area, then that's a little bit different situation. But our flight planning really starts with understanding the winds and the topography and how that's going to change through the morning. And we don't have flight control surfaces, so our knowledge of what the wind direction is and speed at different altitudes is very critical for our navigation, because that's really what we have for navigation, is to change your altitude to find those different winds to get to those favorable landing spots.
More with Arlington's Director of Balloon Operations, Larry Simberger, in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin WAS Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin WAS GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature and my conversation with the Arlington Fly-In's Director of Balloon Operations, Larry Simberger. If a successful balloon flight is all about learning all you can about weather conditions and winds aloft, how do you prepare for a flight in an unpredictable and potentially unforgiving set of circumstances? Larry, you flew a balloon over Mount Rainier.
That was a very special flight. A friend of mine, Vic Johnson, this was his passion. He'd seen this mountain in our backyard, so to speak, and always wanted to fly over it. He's a hot air balloonist who helped me get current after a break I had in my piloting career. And first I was his crew chief. Next thing I knew, before I was his co-pilot and project manager for the event. And we really had to study climatology data to understand what weather opportunities we had to fly over that mountain. We knew we needed a certain speed so we wouldn't get stranded. We knew it couldn't be too fast, otherwise there would be a mountain wave wind on the backside of that mountain, which would be very troublesome for us. And so as we dug into it, we realized we need a little help. I sought some help from the local University of Washington. We brought on board a graduate student of meteorology. So we had all the power now of this computing and everything. We got all this climatology data, and we began to realize the direction we needed. And this event only really happened about six times a year. So we had to be prepared, and part of that preparation was doing test flights, gathering all the right equipment. We had to have oxygen. We had to carry on board a Mode C transponder and equipment like that, because we were going above 18,000 feet. We had to seek special permits from the FAA, and all the coordination with the emergency folks, let the National Park Service know we were flying over. Yep. So it was a pretty big a coordination effort. Our test flights, we learned things, so we, from those learnings, we changed processes and equipment, and then we waited. So we had targeted the fall time as the most opportune time for this event, and what was really exciting is September 19th was our day, 2002. And what's special to the balloonists for that date, that is the day the Montgolfier brothers put together a little demonstration flight in front of about 130,000 people in France over 200 years ago. That was a demonstration flight where the first passengers were a sheep, a rooster, and a duck. And Vic and I always argue who gets to be the rooster. I actually don't mind being the duck, so he can be the rooster. That was a very special day. We didn't think about it when we targeted that day. We had about 24 hours where me and Justin, the meteorologist, said, that's the day. So we had to call up all of our folks, execute our flight waiver, and get everything into motion. So Vic and I probably had about 2 or 3 hours sleep before we rolled out and picked our launch site in Kapalson, Washington. And that was about 7:05 takeoff time. And we overflew the summit, I think it was about 8:15. We had some chase planes that followed us, and it was very, very exciting. And we flew on, and we landed in Glede, Washington, I think it was about 10:30. And what was so fun, our crew was so excited. I'm not sure, but if I did the math, I think they probably broke a few speed records getting over to us. But they were there waiting for us as we landed, and that was a lot of fun.
The Night Glow event at Arlington was spectacular, even with 5 balloons. Make it a point to see Larry and his colleagues in flight next summer. Find out more about the Arlington Fly-In at www.arlingtonflyin.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.